One of the things that we decided right off the bat when we started this podcast was we would not let just anybody sponsor us. To get on here and be a sponsor, you have to share the same values and you have to have the same heart as we do. And you have to be providing something that's very important to us. And coffee is very important to us. And that's why we've been very happy to have Juniper Mountain Trading Post Coffee as our personal sponsors here on the channel. They're the company that provides all the coffee for the school. It's the coffee that we drink personally at home. And we're very, very happy. They're a family-owned company that does everything themselves, and they have the same standards and the same heart that we do. So if you're looking for a quality coffee company, go to junipermountaincoffee.com. And when you check out, make sure that you plug in and type in Dry Creek, all one word, for a 10% discount.
Good afternoon. Dwayne here, Dry Creek Wrangler School. Back in the tack shed today. You may hear a little bit of noise in the background. I got three young men out back out here roping, practicing their roping, and they may get a little bit of rambunctious. I'm going to do something this morning that I don't normally do. I'm going to disregard some advice that I got from Mama. I'm not going to disregard it lightly. I've thought about it quite a bit, but I've decided I need to do what I need to do. And I talked to her a while back about making this video, and she said, I don't think you ought to. I don't recommend you do that. And mostly just because her sense of protection for me. But I've chewed on this and chewed on it, and I've decided this is something I need to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an addendum to the video I did a little while back on the burden of forgiveness. I'm going to clarify some things. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, this is the last of those, that genre type video that I'm going to do. I don't like the results of it. So I'm going to clarify some things, and I'm not going to answer any comments. You comment all you want. I've tried to show some things, and so I'm going to do this. I'm going to clarify, and you can take it. You can accept it. You can not accept it. You can agree. You can disagree. I'm not going to answer any comments. I'm not going to get into a theological discussion with any of you. And I've got people on YouTube now who call themselves preachers, and instead of just getting on there and preaching and teaching, they've taken the role of gatekeeper. So they go through and they find videos, and then they, what you call stitch, they stitch them and say, I agree with this and I don't agree with that, and I agree with this and there's this. And I think it's disrespectful and it's dishonest. If a man calls himself a man of God, then his job is to preach the word, not gatekeep doctrine. So I'm going to explain some things to you, where and how I come to the understanding that I come to on my doctrine, and what studying the Bible means to me. And this is not a preacher thing. If you're just a regular guy out there and you honestly, or gal, sorry, and you honestly, sincerely want to truthfully know what the Bible says and what it means, maybe there's something here that'll help you, okay? All right? Let me ask you a question. All right, I'm going to ask you to define a word, and I want you to define it, okay? All right, define for me the word drag, D-R-A-G. See, some of you are smart enough, the light just went on, and I don't have to go any further. But we will continue. Drag could mean pulling something along the ground that doesn't have wheels on it, okay? Drag could mean two cars racing on a straightaway for a quarter mile. drag could mean, if you're from the 70s, it means something's just not good. It's a drag, man. All right, that's just a drag. It could mean taking a pull on a cigarette or a cigar or a marijuana joint. It could be a man dressing in women's clothes. All right? All of those could be the definition of the word drag. How do you determine which definition is proper for the word? Context. All right, context. If a farmer says, what are you doing tomorrow? Well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to drag the field. That means he's going to be pulling a device behind his tractor that's going to smooth the ground out and break up all the manure clumps from over winter. Does not mean he's going to be racing another tractor across the field. Does not mean he's going to be dressing his tractor up in women's clothes. You see where I'm going? Okay. Context defines the word, and a word can have different definitions based on the context. Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Now, if we lazily, and there's your problem, if we lazily say, that says thou shalt not kill, so we can't kill, we can't hunt, we can't defend our family, we can't join the military, we can't, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. If that's how you approach scripture, then you're going to almost always be wrong. Okay? And you can't have any faith in scripture if you do that. Because in that same sermon, in that same book, spoken by the same person, Moses, he then tells them, if any of you Israelites break this law, kill them, execute them. And if they break this law, execute them, kill them. And if they do this, execute them, kill them. And God tells the Israelites, wipe out the Amalekites. Man, woman, child, their animals, their dogs, their sheep, their oxen, everything. Make them disappear from the face of the earth. Because they are a poison that is poisoning the earth. Well, now, if God says, thou shalt not kill, and then God gives all these commands to kill, we have contradiction in scripture. And we have a two-faced God. But if we have enough sense and enough common sense and enough logic and reason and understanding to know that the Bible actually does not contradict itself, God does not contradict itself, then we say, well, I need to figure out what this is. And then you find out that the original word that was transferred kill in Exodus chapter 20 is roxa. And that word has a very specific definition, and it means to assassinate, to murder. To kill without cause, without reason, without justification. Very specific. So it's that version of drag. Context has to define the word. Okay? All right? Are you starting to? So we get to the New Testament. And you guys went in. I say you guys. That's a broad brush. That's not fair. I don't want to be unfair. But many, many of you went in and you found a verse or two verses that seemed to back up what you already believed and what you wanted to believe. And you said, see there, the Bible says it. No, the Bible didn't say it. Now, many of you pointed where Jesus is on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them for they know what they do. Define forgive in that instance. There are several Greek words in the New Testament that different words that are translated forgive, forgiving, forgiveness. All right. So if you look at that where Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know what they do. And then you guys got on there, those of you that did. All right. And you said, see there, Dwayne, you're wrong. And my answer to that is no, you're ignorant. If you take that one instance where Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know what they do while they're crucifying him. And you go and check out every instance in the Bible where the word forgiveness is used. If you use that without defining that word, you directly contradict the Bible. The Bible contradicts itself, and you contradict God. And if you find one passage, Matthew, that says, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out so you don't go to hell. And then you go to Ephesians, and Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, all right, not by works, lest any man should boast. I just garbled up that, okay? You can look it up. So we have full grace without works, and we have cut pieces of your body off so you don't go to hell. If we do not study that and look at that prayerfully and logically and reasonably, the Bible's contradicting itself. Okay? Now, what we have when Jesus is on the cross, we have a different definition of the word forgive, just like we do of drag, just like we do of kill. Okay? That word that was translated, forgive, in that instance, part of its definition is let it be. Let it go. Let it happen. Don't stop it. Okay, that's the definition of the Greek word that was translated forgive. Now, we know from all the way back from Psalms, and we know Jesus himself, when he was on earth, said, look, no man takes my life. I lay it down. And he said, do you not know that if I just ask the Father, he's going to send legions of angels down here to rescue me? If I don't want to do this, I don't have to do this. God the Father will come down here and sort stuff out. Now, can you imagine he's on the cross and either he sees it or he knows the Father and the Father says, and he gets up from his throne and stands on the portals of glory and says, son, you just say the word. You just say the word. And he says, Father, forgive them. Don't stop them. Let it happen. Let it be. Because they don't know what they're doing. They do not understand the eternal spiritual implication of what is taking place here. They were not pardoned from their sins. There's nowhere in Scripture where Jesus looks at the Father and says, Father, pardon them from their sins, even though they don't know what they're doing, and even though they don't ask for it, and even though they won't admit that they need pardon from their sins. Go ahead and do it for me. That's nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere. Okay? And this fellow who's on YouTube, it says, when I said you got nothing, that's what I'm talking about. You, when you take Scripture out of context, and you do not study the words and the definition of things, and you say, I've got this verse, that's what I'm saying. You've got nothing. He said, well, what about in Matthew, where he says, forgive this. Go to the altar. If you take your gift to the altar, and thy brother have aught against thee, go. And you have the Lord's Prayer. Who's talking? Who's talking? Jesus is talking. Who's he talking to? You say, well, he's talking to the disciples or the apostles. Well, who are the disciples and the apostles? They're Jews. They are Israelites that are still under the Mosaic Levitical law. Now, you got to go back. Remember, Jesus said, don't take this to the Gentiles. Don't take this message that I'm preaching. This is not for them. Don't give it to the Gentiles. Don't give it to the Samaritans. This is only for Israel. I'm only speaking to Israel. When he sent the disciples out to preach, he said, this message that I'm preaching is only for Israel. That's why Matthew 5, 6, and 7 does not line up with Romans and Ephesians. Because he's speaking to a different time. And he's trying to bring in, he's offering them the messianic kingdom, which he came to do. He had to do that. It was the right thing to do. He knew they were going to reject it. But he had to offer it to them. This is the political platform for this government that we're fixing to set up. And this is what you're going to have to do. Well, they rejected that political platform. And so Paul tells us very clearly that we then moved into the age of grace. And he grafted the Gentiles into the tree. All right? So you can't go... You can't just go anywhere in Scripture and grab any verse you want and pull it out of context and say, see, this verifies what I think to be true. You got nothing. And I'm right. You want to know why I'm right? Do you want to know why I will happily, gladly put my study against your study? This is how I study. I study, I sit down with a Bible and a concordance. Now, concordance is a book that has every word in the Bible and every instance that that word is in the Bible with the reference. Every time the word the shows up, the book's about that thick. I use Strong's, there's Strong's, there's Young's, there's Vine's. I use Strong's. All right. So when I studied grace, I studied it honestly. I sat down and I set my Bible and I set my concordance and I said, you know, I've been told by preachers all my life, this is what grace is. I said, but you know, if I'm going to study it for myself, first thing I got to do is say, I don't know. Because if I already know, listen to me. If I already know, why am I studying? If I already know and I already know that I know, I don't need to study. So if I'm going to study, I need to have the heart of a student. And the heart of a student is, I don't know. So I take the word grace and I take the concordance and I open it up to the word grace. And I start at the beginning. And every time the word grace appears in the Bible, I would read it. And then I would read the context. Who's talking? Who are they talking to? And what is going on here? What are they talking about? And I would put it in context. And I would go to the next one. And I would go to the next one. And I studied from front to back every single time the word grace appeared in Scripture. In context. And honestly and prayerfully. So I don't go in and take a word and pull it out, say, yep, this is what my preacher told me this was. This is what my grandma told me it was. And here's a verse that backs that up, so it must be true. That's dishonest. And it's lazy. And it's inaccurate. All right? So that is my study method, and that's how I come to my understanding of what things mean in Scripture. Now, if you watch this, and you get done, you say, no, I don't accept that. That's okay, guys. That's all right. Okay. You say, no, I don't think that's what it is. I don't think this. I don't think that. That's okay. But do not insult me any further by getting on here and telling me you need to study this verse. You need to study this more. You don't understand what's going on. Unless you have studied as long and as deep and as hard and as prayerfully and as honestly as I have, don't get on here and pull one verse out of context and then tell me that I need to study. All right? So, my study has brought me to the understanding that just like God does with us, we do not forgive others unless they ask for forgiveness. Most of your churches today, most of your pastors are not churches, and they're not pastors. They're pop psychologists with a little bit of a religious tint and taint and flavor to them. They want to put out there what makes you feel good. I don't give a flying rip what makes you feel good if it contradicts Scripture. Because it's not just about you. It's about the one who did wrong. Okay? All right? So, I hold very strongly and very firmly my original position. But now, whether you accept it or not, you at least understand the honesty and the hard work that was behind me coming to my position, all right? And if any of you guys are watching this, let me just say, for you fellas out there who take my videos, these videos that talk about anything theological, and you stitch them and sit there and give your comment, that's dishonest. because I'm not there to clarify anything. All right. I'm not there to give an answer. All right. You take what I say. And here's the funny thing. Everybody that does this has a little tiny channel. So you're using me to get clicks. All right. And I don't respect that. If you call yourself a man of God, your job is to preach the word, not to gatekeep doctrines and find those who are teaching something else and go through and gatekeep and say, this is what I believe. I have no respect for what you're doing. All right. I look at your channels. I see them when they come up and I look at your channels and I watch your other videos. And there's things you come up with that I don't agree with. But I have enough respect for you that I will not take your video and stitch it and sit here and pick it apart for all the people who watch me. All right? The disrespect and the gatekeeping is why I left the church. Disrespect, dishonorable behavior, and gatekeeping. Instead of honest preachers honestly preaching the word of God. That's why I don't go to church. No more. And I've been ordained. I was ordained in 1997. I've started 3 Bible institutes. I've pastored 2 churches. Assistant pastored 2 other churches. All right. I'm not some podunk, ignorant hick hillbilly out here who just spits tobacco and reads the Bible. All right. I've been around for a long time. Been around for a long time. And I've done a lot of study. Okay. And so back up. Just back up. I doubt if you've walked a mile in my shoes. I doubt it. Because if you had, you wouldn't still be going to church either. You'd still love God and you'd still serve God. But you wouldn't be standing out in front door thumping your chest and gatekeeping if you had walked a mile in my shoes. All right? So, I'm not doing any more videos like this. This is the last one. And I will not be answering any comments on this video. This is definitely take it or leave it. You've got all the explanation that you're going to get. This puts me in an emotional state that I don't like to be in. And I'm not going to allow myself to be in anymore. For you, for an explanation, one more time. This was it. All right? So I wish you guys the best. Be logical, be reasonable, be safe, have fun, and be honest. And be honest. And we'll catch you guys next time. And next time, I guarantee 110,000% will be a horse or a mule video, as will many of them from here on out. All right.